Welcome to this short reflective service for Advent and Christmas. As we make our last minute preparations at home or wherever we may find ourselves, we take these moments to think about the coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. As we recall the preparations for his coming through the words of the prophets, and consider how God's master plan involved a priest and a king, shepherds and men seeking wisdom in the stars, a humble carpenter and a young woman of low status. We give thanks that this good news we celebrate once more this Christmas time is for each of us and for the whole world. We continue with words from the prophet Isaiah, who brings to mind the day when God's glorious light will illuminate the whole world, a promise fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, and a promise yet to be fulfilled as we wait for his coming in glory. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bringing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
the birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Thank you.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Can you spot the unbeliever in this verse? It should be easy. Herod the king and Zechariah the priest. It has to be the king, doesn't it? No prizes for getting that right. Everything we know about Herod tells us that he's an unbeliever. So Zechariah has to be the believer. He's a priest with full credentials. He has his family tree all worked out. He's described as righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. His wife is also of priestly descent. Their only problem is that the children they longed for and prayed for never came, and now they are too old to have any. As the story develops, we find him fulfilling his priestly duties and enjoying a rare privilege. Chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. As if that were not enough, he has an exceptional experience. He's brought face to face with an angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." In the light of all this, we go back to verse 5. Spot the unbeliever. It has to be Herod, and it is. But there's a surprise in store for us, a shock even. The angel said to Zechariah, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Zechariah also is an unbeliever. You did not believe. What was it he didn't believe? He didn't believe that God had heard his prayer. He didn't believe that God would keep his promise. He didn't believe that God could work out his purpose. And what was that purpose? To bring many people back to the Lord, to heal divisions, to mend broken hearts and broken families, to change people's thoughts and actions, to turn them from disobedience to wisdom and righteousness, to prepare them for the coming of the Lord. Where will you find unbelievers today? Out in the town doing their Christmas shopping, round at the sports stadium, in the pubs and clubs of the city. Yes, you'll find unbelievers in all these places. But the message of Luke chapter 1 is that if you look around in church, you may find them there too. Religious unbelievers, church-going unbelievers, Christian unbelievers. The Bible is clear that faith in God is central to our relationship with him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Coming back to Luke chapter 1, what was the cure for Zechariah's unbelief? It wasn't anything that he did, or anything that he thought, or anything that he achieved. Doubt turned to faith when God answered his prayer. when God kept his promise, when God did what seemed impossible, when God worked his purpose out. As Gabriel predicted, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. For Zechariah, it all worked out as the Lord had said. His silence was turned into song, his doubt was dispelled, and faith became a reality. He had a new vision of God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's mercy, God's salvation, and God's peace. You can read all about it at the end of Luke chapter 1. As we approach Christmas and a new year to follow, if an angel were to visit you, would he find a believer or an unbeliever? Do you believe that God has heard your prayers? Do you believe that God will keep his precious and very great promises? Do you believe that God is working out his purposes in your life and the life of your family? God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labour, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love.
Now let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as Christmas draws near, we want to thank you for coming into the world you created, coming as a tiny baby in the stillness and darkness of the night. Not in a posh palace with pomp and ceremony, but a smelly cattle manger where shepherds and kings were welcomed. Thank you that you came as Emmanuel, God with us. And no matter how many Christmases we have walked through, may our hearts still be stirred and thrilled as we remember that the Creator God came to dwell amongst us, to share our joys and sorrows, our temptations and triumphs, and ultimately to offer the perfect sacrifice for our sins by your death upon a cross and your resurrection. Also, we can receive forgiveness and eternal life. Our hearts are truly thankful for your everlasting love. What a Saviour, Emmanuel, God with us. So, Father, as another year draws to a close, and we remember and thank you for all your loving kindness and faithfulness that you have poured upon us, especially through the difficult and dark days, we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, the never-changing one, forever faithful, trustworthy and gracious. As we enter 2023, we thank you that you and only you will be our constant in all that lies ahead. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, may we choose to fix our eyes upon you and walk ever closer to you, knowing that your desire is to continue your work of transforming us into the likeness of Jesus. Father, we commit the ways of this new year into your keeping, for you have promised to direct our paths and to be with us now and always. And we pray these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his honour and glory. Amen.
Oh, God. us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. God of God, light of light, no, he abhors not the virgin's womb.
So we come to the end of this time of reflective worship with a prayer. In God's power, in his peace, in his presence, we place ourselves today. Holy God, holy and strong one, holy and mighty one, protect us by your power, provide us with your peace. Fill our lives with your presence and awaken us to your coming. God is with you, a light to your path, a companion on the road, a friend for your journey, a sure support and presence at all times. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this Christmas time and always. Amen.
Joy to